Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webber at StuWeb.com. And it is August the 8th, 2023. It's Tuesday. And I have the honor to have Nicole Powers. And she has a website, WitnessSpeaks.com. And we're just going to talk about Jesus Christ tonight and some of the problems that the planet is having and how to cure the problems. And with that said, now, Nicole, I just told you that it'd be your show, so let's hear what you have to say.
I was going to talk about the, the paranormal experiences that I was having during my life, and also how it's related today and what people are going through, and the evil that's affecting this world, and how we can probably solve these problems with our faith. And with understanding that God has our best interests at heart, and He wants us to have a close and deeper relationship with Him due to the problems that we face with evil and the system at large that's very it's anti-God, anti-family, anti-Christian. And so what I want to go through is that while growing up, I was fortunate enough, my family, that believed in God for one important point. Let me get some water here, I'm sorry. I think it's very important to have faith and to have a belief system. I don't think we realize how dangerous this world is and it can be. And the first experience I had, like I told you, the first time that was very traumatic for me is being born, or even before I was born, of having a hell experience, experience with hell. And while growing up, I did not realize how this event would set the tone and pace of all the things that I was going to experience in this world and with other people. And the first experience that I had outside of the room was being left home a lot and being programmed. And having all these false belief systems instilled in me that would hinder my growth as a Christian. And I found out through my own research, while dealing with autoimmune disorders, that there were a lot of kids born in that in the 70s, in that time period, that we experienced the same family life. We were left home a lot, and we were told not to open the door and not to, you should have to stay home a lot. And I think that when I talked to my mom about this, I said, well, why did you leave me home alone when I was such a young child? Because that's not natural. And I really believe that they were being programmed just as much as I was being programmed to hate myself and to hate God, but be fearful of God, that He did not love me. And it also coincides with what they call the Illuminati Oath, with the hidden agenda. Because I found that out through my own research, at certain things, like the food that we eat, that have a lot of chemicals and byproducts, the fillings, the dyes in our clothes, all that was designed, I guess, to further cut us off from God, to put us in a state where we were numb to the rest of the world. So, and this was all by design, and it was a very secretive, hidden agenda. And I believe that so many people in my age range who fell under this trap are people that are needed today to break free from the matrix that we live under now. And I think it's so important for us to understand that in life things can be hidden from us, that we need to know and that we need to open our minds up to possibilities, that there's certain things that we need to adopt in our lives, and we have to come to agreement that we were lied to. And I think a lot of people during the Great Awakening, they tied this up to our politics, because these are the very same people that set the agenda, that write the laws. And also, I learned about Codex, what is it, Codex Alimentarius, and about how there are certain guidelines for food manufacturers to produce food. And if you did not have certain components in the foods, you could not sell that manufactured food on the market. So there was so much going on during the time before Trump took office that it opened up people's minds of how so much is designed against us. And I'm so grateful to have a president like Donald Trump to recognize the fact that so much is rigged against us. And it destroys every aspect of our lives, and this is spiritually, but financially too. And you can correlate this with the fact that we have so many people right now, Stu, that are sick with chronic diseases. And this is not by accident. None of this is by accident. And then you have a culture war that is geared to several ties amongst black and white. And you have so many culture wars about the rich and the poor, and how they spark these issues, these trigger issues to distract. And so when we're so distracted with this stuff, we can never get to the real reason why we're suffering, why we have chronic illnesses, why we have high drug costs, high insurance costs. So all this is to burden us. And I think that people, and during the Great Awakening, they turned to nature for healing. There was a great push to detoxify, because those were the methods that you had to use to get from under this system of being sick all the time and being confused. And now on that end, you have a war with gender and how they want to sexualize children. So there's so much going on, and there's so much we have to fight through. It's hard to believe that we can even look at the bigger picture about what can we do to liberate ourselves? What can we do to make things right so we can survive? Because I told my mama, I said, you know what? Before COVID hit, I said, there's going to come a time where you're going to have to get healthy. I'll wait another month and before I start a diet. No, you're going to have to get healthy now. Because the more healthy you are, the stronger you are. It also helps with your stress level and your mentality. It's hard to be in this world right now having so many issues, so many problems, where it's very difficult for you to live day to day. So that's all by design. I think everything was by design. And even the environment, how they're attacking the food. So I wanted to just tell you about that. The things that I discovered through my own awakening with my diseases and with my spiritual walk with God, everything is connected and everything is spiritual. And I never realized that the system itself had people in place that expected me to destroy myself and expected me to act in a way that was counterintuitive to my Christian walk. So it's no surprise that we have people in this world that are just hell-bent on destruction, because the whole system is designed to destroy you. The whole system is designed to keep you separated from God and your fellow man. So if you have anything to say about that, you're welcome.
No, I'm in agreement with you. It's a satanic designed system, and it's being controlled by a bunch of Satanists. I call them the 12 disciples of Satan, which they are. They're fallen angel possessed. They call them aliens within the NSA. And there's 200,000 of them registered within our government, and has been since 1952 under the 52 to 2012 alien agreement that's registered with the NSA. And they've cloned about 20 million out of Hope, Arkansas. And then we got the robotoids walking around, black and white both, Mexican, and the whole bit, and there's nothing but robots. I mean, and these things that are being cloned in Hope, Arkansas, these humans, roughly 20 million is what Super Spook Otis Johnson told me before his death. He said they had 10 million registered, but since the late 40s, and they started cloning over here. They brought these Nazi scientists over, and they put them in Hope, Arkansas. And the birthplace of Bill Clinton, Hope, Arkansas. Wonder what Bill Clinton is, okay? But, anyway.
In Hope, you know.
Yeah, Hope, Arkansas, right. You know, and Rodney Bowers with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, him and I were working on the MENA, Arkansas crap, and I was giving all that stuff to Ross Perot and all kinds of stuff, and he was running with it in the presidency while I'm hiding from the FBI. And he was working with me, and then he stung him later in 1997, and it cost my ex-wife's father, it cost him $80 million fine he had to pay, but he never went to jail. And Larry Mizell, and the one that took over for him, this fallen angel possessed, whatever, jumped out of your ex-father-in-law, Otis says, jumped in Mizell, it's inhabited in him. He's the new one, take over. And I watched the transfer of the money, $100 trillion to this guy over a period of a year, him and Brownstein. And Norman Brownstein, he's the one that was Daddy Bush's CIA counsel 3 years out of law school, working for Milman. Then he becomes the CIA director, George Herbert Walker Bush's lead attorney. And his assistant was Bill Barr, the stooge underneath Trump. Trump made a lot of appointment mistakes because he listened to, you know, then Otis said, if there's 200,000 registered at the NSA, that means all the world leaders possess. He goes, no, Stu. He's, look at Trump. He's not evil. He's not possessed. But he said their aides are around them that can read their mind and their thoughts, and they give them bad advice. And he said that's what's been going on. And you look at the ones that attack Trump since Trump's been under these fake indictments and all this other crap, and how they've been attacking from the very beginning. It's the same stooges. And Bill Barr's out there talking against it, you know, and other Republicans, okay? You know, that he's guilty of something. I don't think the man's guilty of jack, but he did a lot for the country. But, you know, Joe and I, Professor Joe, did a radio show. It's on the Breaking News column. It was about three back. I'm trying to get it up on the bar tonight and the others. But on the Illuminati cards. And he gave a 30-minute excellent speech about the Illuminati cards. And in there, there's two on Trump. And one of them says, we can assassinate you at any time. On Trump. Now, this was all done in 1994, folks, the Illuminati cards. They're very valuable now, but Joe got his hands on a set of them. Alice Jones, agent in place. Ron Paul, agent in place. Agent for who? You know? I mean, this is the way it is. Crazy. Sanity.
But I want to also talk about PIW, about... I really believe that I told you before about the government organization that's connected to that hospital, the DOD, and I firmly believe now that my doctor, he knew about what was going on with me and the paranormal activity that was around me while I was in the hospital, and I feel as though... they could have known about it before him, before he came to see me that morning. And I feel as though everyone involved was told not to tell me anything. And I really believe they used the grays. I think they were working in tandem with them. I think they know how to communicate with these beings. And I think they're... I heard Eisenhower made some type of agreement with the fallen angels or the demons that
he did. He made Norse. It was all coming from the Nazis because they had invaded the Nazis. The fallen angels. They gave them anti-gravity saucers. And then John Lear, my friend, who was a test pilot out there, he was in CIA over in Vietnam, but he was also a test pilot. He didn't want people to know it out there at Groom Lake. But he tested, you know, it's one of the things. He got crippled and ended up dying, I guess, about 2 years ago, but yes. His dad built 150 flying saucers for the government between 1952 and 1959 for our arsenal, 150 of them. And that's what Joe is aware of, and part of it's the good side, the Confederation, and then the dark side, which is the other side he's explained over the past year in various shows, and people can look it up. Professor Joe, just scroll down the breaking news bar, number 3, and I think it'll pick up most of the shows people can listen to, but he gets into that in detail. And we're gonna do one on another subject he wants to touch on, and I said great, because he does his research. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, he taught school for many years out there in California, and retired, went to work for the CIA company Whack and Hunt, installing security systems at airports and other governmental installations.
Yeah.
He was good.
Part of it, and about the Freemasons. So that really opened me up to things. And then I started digging around, and then I found you, and I found Able Danger, and I found other government insiders that were affected by this, who felt that they had a conscience, and they wanted to do better for themselves and also for their fellow Americans, because they knew how wrong this was. So I had to come to grips that I didn't know anything about life, and I was blinded to a lot of things, and then it was such a burden to me that I had to tell my mom about it. And she started looking at the programs that I was looking at the podcast, and learning about the Illuminati, so, and learning about how the entertainment world was involved. So this was very groundbreaking for me. And it also talked about the healthcare industry and all the networks and systems that were in place. And you come to realize that Satan is into everything. There's not an industry on this planet that he's not affecting. And I think that really got me to the point where I had to be proactive about everything, and I had to stop exposing myself to things that were not healthy spiritually for me and physically for me. And I'm very grateful for that, because if I didn't, I would have fell for the traps that other people have felt for, especially concerning COVID. And I think that life is like that. You have to keep growing, you have to keep learning, and you should never tell yourself, well, I don't need to know anymore. I think people hurt themselves when they don't want to look at life as a growing experience, that you should never stop learning, and you should never stop growing and understanding how the world works.
Now, I got a speech that Charlene Renee, she was on the last show with you, and we talked to her today, but I have a speech she's going to send that they recorded. She went to church on Sunday and gave this big speech on how that church, the preacher wouldn't baptize her. And she was about 4 or 5, 6 years, about 6 years of age, I think, and she was begging to get baptized. And a whole bit, he wouldn't baptize her. Well, then the guy dies, and she ends up being baptized in that church. And this preacher, she had a dream about him, and actually saved his life, I believe, but it's a miracle with her regarding various things. But you know, she did bring the attention that we're so close, it's unreal. I mean, we are there the hour in the day. I mean, like Otis Johnson said, he said they saw a fireball 6 times the size of Earth whip around the sun and hit us head on some place around 2025. They saw in CERN, the super collider in Switzerland, and this is NSA, you know, information that he told me about in 2017 before his death, before they murdered him. And he was working for General Flynn, and then General Flynn was under false indictment, and he got off that charge, but still he had to resign his position as NSA. And that was Otis's direct boss. And he murdered Otis because Otis says if the guy in charge of all the bullshit that was going on in the Congress trying to prosecute Trump made up fake dossiers that Hildebeest, I call her, Hillary Clinton, made up of Jeb Bush, and paid that character over in the UK to write him up these reports that sent Mueller after Trump. Well, he said if Mueller doesn't do his job, he says, I'll be arresting him personally, Stu, real soon. And then he ended up dead. I talked to him on his deathbed. He said he got hit with sonar. They got him this time. He says, I feel the evil coming on. I said, oh, shit. But he told me, 2025, the big fireball. He said, 2 stars are going to hit us beforehand, they saw. I said, you're talking about Revelation 13, Wormwood, and a sister star. He goes, that's right, Stu. Because he was raised as a Christian. I asked him one time, I said, Otis, why did you do these different projects for the government and so forth? He said, I thought I was helping to better mankind.
Uh-huh.
He thought that. But, you know, he just saw the alien side of it, and when shit, and he found out about it all. I mean, he was on the phone. He punched in 007, Otis Johnson, 007, Otis Johnson, and look at the secret underground house that Howard Hughes had his office 4 stories below ground. It shows an office building, and it shows pictures after they killed his partner, Jerry Henderson. You know, had Grumman Aerospace, and he shipped some weapons over there, some A-10 bombers, tank busters, to Iran and Iraq, with Bill Ladings, but they were fake. Daddy Bush faked them up, and then he murdered him to shut him up. And Henderson was in charge of Avon, which was a CIA front company that was financing covert operations of state here in America, and agents. Otis was his partner, and it slept in that guest house down below. It's five stories below ground. Okay, but they took pictures. Daddy Bush took the corporation over, drove him into his deathbed, and took over Grumman and Avon, and then stole $3.5 trillion of U.S. taxpayer money for covert operations of state, of which Jerry Henderson ran, and Otis was his partner. Like, Otis was the assistant to CIA Director William Casey. That's the reason he saw them doing the human sacrifice at the old Navarre when he had to have an order signed by then Vice President Bush, who Casey came against later and then murdered him. And on his deathbed, he told all. And the nurses and doctors that worked on him for about 10 to 14 days, he remained alive after Bush had two goons hold him down in his chair while he stuck a needle in his temple and gave him a cerebral hemorrhage. And he talked to the nurses and so forth, talked to Otis. He went over there, and so did the other immediate aide he had, the two top aides, the William Casey. Casey was going to testify that morning before Congress that Bush was out of control. And so he murdered him. Well, all the doctors and nurses that worked on him at Bethesda Naval Hospital all died in car crashes and or suicided within 6 months after his death because he was telling them everything about how Bush was so far out of control. So Bush murdered all the doctors and the nurses. That's how evil they are. They just, they don't give a damn.
No, and it's all for nothing when you think about it.
I know.
It's all, they don't benefit from what they do. And it's like, you know, the similar with the snake eating its tail. Evil serves no purpose. It really doesn't. It's a self-destructive program.
It is.
And I don't understand why they do it, because in the end, you don't get anything, because Satan can't really promise you anything. He can't give you anything. So you have a temporary gain on this planet, yes, but after that, it's not all, you know, sunny roses and rainbows. It's pure hell, it's pure horror. I've been to hell, and it's not even the place where the fallen angels want to be. So I don't understand why humans want to trade off turning the love of God for eternity of pain and torment later, when what you gain is very temporal. It doesn't last. It won't last. I saw the video of Walter Cronkite's his retirement thing, and they had Patch and Hillary, and they were talking about the New World Order, and here is this old man saying, I gladly serve at the right hand of Satan.
Oh my God.
I'm like, this man is just such an idiot. Does he realize, you know, that what is waiting for him in the afterworld?
They don't know. I'm convinced they don't know. They just, it's always something money orientated and related with the New World Order. Somebody comes up with an idea, and all of a sudden, here, this is an example. Ruby Tuesday, which is a nationwide food chain, a restaurant, it serves pretty good food. But the guy that came up with it and the menu and all, he sold the idea to Larry Mizell. That is to put it in the business. Well, the guy got shoved out of the business and Mizell took it over. Okay? Because they financed. That's the way they do. Like Trump Towers all of a sudden got financed over there in New Jersey. It was extra Ford. The Hillary stood out in front of him during the campaign against him. And she was recording that he never even completed and bankrupt on his corporation on these subcontractors that never got paid. Well, it was the insurance company of Milman and Bush's, several insurance companies, made him the loans after he was over there and was very successful with his first tower. And he had that tower, you know, pretty much clear of the New World Order game. But when he got in trouble, Henry Kissinger bailed him out through Deutsche Bank out of Germany, and he bailed him out of the problem that he had. Well, that ended that, but It was part of the deal, too. I get the horse outside the door here. I got a 1,250-pound horse, folks, in my yard. Well, that's just my back. Oh, man. He makes noise if someone comes around, I guarantee it. But anyway, Henry Kissinger bailed him out. But the insurance companies were owned by Milman and Bush, and they never paid the subcontractors who had done that work, and they were supposed to do and obligated under federal law to do so. So they racketeered against him and his subcontractors. And what's really interesting, if you go to Donald Trump's site under Trump.org, and you look at the he claims it to be the best deal he ever did, which is a Panama Hotel. It was a Hilton Hotel owned by Leonard Milman. And then there was a second Hilton Hotel owned by Daddy Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. And Noriega took them and nationalized both hotels because Bush was trying to squeeze him out of more money, more drugs, because he was supplying Bush with a lot of drugs. Well, they took Noriega out, okay? They arrested him illegally and a whole bit, and Bob Hunt was in jail with me down there in Springfield while I'm being analyzed, and they had him under temporary custody at the president's orders because he spoke out against Bush while they were arresting Noriega. He was a Naval SEAL team lieutenant commander, and they had just arrested Noriega at the Vatican compound, and a bunch of press were there, and he said, "Mr. President, I can't assassinate him, the press. We've already got him in cuffs." He says, "You either assassinate Bob or I deal with you." He says, "Fuck you, Mr. President." He hung up on Bush on the walkie-talkie, and he brought him into custody. Well, he got stuck down there for 6 months. Okay, I heard his whole story, and they ended up murdering him later and arresting him down in Wichita and holding him in jail. But, I mean, some of the people I met were just, it was interesting. Look at Billy Jack, the movie. Billy Jack. Watch it, folks, sometime. You know, it makes it look like he killed a couple federal agents. No, he didn't. That's Leonard Peltier. And the one that used to be Attorney General, Ramsey Clark, represents him because there was a girl that did a story in Las Vegas for me after I'd met him. And Otis said, "Hey, that's Billy Jack in the movie. You got to go talk to him." I talked to him for 2 days while they were transporting from Illinois over to Supermax down there in Pebble. And that's an underground facility, like 3 or 4 stories below ground, and you have no human contact whatsoever. Someone comes to visit with you, they're on TV screen. And they drive the food rail up there 3 times a day, and that's how you get your food. You step out on a rail car and grab what you want. That's they hold you there to drive you insane. I know several people was held there, and Leonard Peltier was held there. But I met a lot of interesting people in prison, I guarantee you. 5,000 Iran-Contra people were locked up when I was locked up. And Drugging America is a book that was published because of me. And I told Rodney, don't put my name in it at all. I'm not associating with any of these people. These are the drug lords that I turned you on to that wanted their stories published, okay, to get them out of jail, put the squeeze on. And he did. And it's a great read. I mean, I'm going to get it up underneath the books, top of my site. But that's one I contributed to. A lot of sources came out of Springfield down there where I met Bob Hunt, the officer, you know, Lieutenant Commander, Naval SEAL that, you know, saved Noriega from death. But Trump admits on his own website how great of a deal he got on the Hilton Hotel down there. He bought it from Leonard Milman's estate. He's got a family trust registered with the court to make it look legit, like it didn't dirty drug money, $50 billion. He left my daughter, my ex-wife, her siblings, etc., and a couple grandkids, I understand. But he left him that money, but told him, "Oh, here, Amanda, to my daughter, here's your card. You can spend $1 million a year off the trust money, buy anything you want, a yacht." They did that, and new cars, and new home, and, you know, big house, about 4,000 feet, and so forth. I got 3 grandkids, but and my daughter's an MD. She's a shrink. Psychiatrist, issues medication, but she has her own business there in near Boulder, Colorado, etc. I'm proud of her for what she has been through, but they told her before she was 21, "Here's your card, but if you ever have anything to do with your father, we're going to take anything that you use, that card to buy you, we're going to take it back and away from you and take the card away. Otherwise, you can go spend $1 million a year." Okay? And her mother has a place in Hawaii and a place in Littleton, Colorado, both. And Las Vegas, Nevada.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So that's the way they play. That's the way they play with them.
My community at large was touched by the crack cocaine epidemic in the 80s. I lived in Southeast Washington, and I used to hear the gunfire at night, and you just knew someone was getting killed over crack cocaine. So that was very much a big issue during my time growing up in Washington. And people often wondered, you know, especially came to Mary Berry because he got caught up in the stuff. The controversy was him saying on live television that it wasn't black people that were flying crack cocaine or cocaine into the United States. This was done by rich white men. And everybody assumed that this is the reason why they did that sting operation at the Vista Hotel up there in Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C., because he exposed a vital fact of how the system itself, it allows for criminality to exist in certain areas of certain cities, in certain counties, and it's all controlled. And you often wonder, why is it that, you know, we can go overseas and find Saddam Hussein in a spider hole, but we can't clean up the drugs and the violence and the gangs in our own city street? You got Langley, you know, right near everything, with all the intelligence, with all the high-tech equipment. You gonna tell me we cannot clean up crime in our country? We can go and cause mischief and mayhem in other places. seem to let things fester because for them it serves a purpose. Like you say, they raise money off of this stuff. And it seems that in certain times, like you said, what they did to Noriega. And I noticed this with what's his name? That high level that drug kingpin that the Clinton cracked down on him in the early 90s. It seems like every time they want to go up in power, they have to clean up the things that they did with other people. And they did it again with that other guy, what's his name? I can't even think of the names of these drug kingpins. Nancy Pelosi got, $100 million from him. And they arrested him and they brought him into this country. And then the wife came up here and they got her. So it's like they don't let their partners go free. And I just wonder the people in those Latin countries that, you know, the up and coming ones, they realize they need to stay away from the people here that benefit off of what you do.
Well, it's state control.
It doesn't last long.
I know. They control you through the money is what they do. That's pretty much it. But I mean, when it comes to this whole satanic thing, I mean, the ones that are full blown witches like Hillary Clinton, Barbara Bush, and those type. I mean, they're off the charts. They cut off little babies' faces. They eat their blood. They pump them with a dildo in their rear end and rape them while they're killing them and drinking their blood. They're animals. And I ask myself, you know, that they say that the women aren't the possessed ones, the fallen angel possessed the men. You know?
Okay,
so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I know one thing. It sure is some kind of big demon that possesses Hilda Beast, I call her. Hillary Clinton. Hilda Beast. Hilda Beast. But she is. She's an evil, wicked woman. Everything she does is wicked. Everything she does is just... There's some people on this planet we need to bring to justice one of these days. She's one of them.
Yeah.
She needs to be brought by the Justice Department, done all legally. And they need to just empty the Justice Department out, especially FBI, Joint Task Force Group, Division Number 5, 7th Floor, Washington, D.C. They need to empty the place out and fire everybody and investigate them all for their racketeering. Now put them in jail accordingly. That's what needs to be done. And Jim Jordan has the ability to do that, force it to happen. and he needs to do it. And so does the Oversight Committee, in my opinion. Congressional
and I just
Oversight
realized how much power she wielded, because there was no one really challenging her, because these politicians own everybody through blackmail.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing you can do, but you can control all the legal...
It's called the
legal
control.
You can control it. So, of course, she felt as if she can do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Because there was no one around her to tell her no.
They call it the control files they have on other people. Yeah. And then they pull it out at the right time and use it against them. And, you know, when you watch some banker overseas with HSBC Bank, Hong Kong, Shanghai Bank Corp, controlled by Great West Life that Milman had there in Denver that Mizell now controls, they're the world's largest bank. And then the spinoff out of Silverado that Milman had, and Larry Mizell was on the board of directors with Norman Brownstein. The two were out of college together in 72, both lawyers. One went to build apartments, Mizell, and they got in the house business, and Richmond American Homes is one of the largest builders in the country. That's them, all over Virginia, all kinds of places, California, Las Vegas, you name it. But anyway, he was apartment building. Well, he controls HSBC Bank through Great West Life of Denver, the largest bank in the world. But every 6 months, every 4 months, someone's being indicted. Well, they're narcotics money laundering through maybe the one in the UK, HSBC in the UK. Or maybe it's over in Switzerland. But one of the vice presidents of their bank has been indicted for narcotics money laundering. And does it come and touch them? No, it doesn't touch them. They're above the law. It touches those and that's where they get burned. So many of them get burned by their own people. That's what happened during Iran-Contra. 5,000 of them were locked up. And I met 1,500 down in Springfield. It was unbelievable the amount of people I got to know. I mean, I was turning everybody on to them. That's how Jonathan Beatty, before I got arrested, he had been on them on the Outlaw Bank, you know, connected to the BCCI, Bank of Credit and Commerce International. But he wrote the book. He was going to write my book, and they found me. They arrested me because of Jack Blum that was on the Kerry Committee that was investigating BCCI, who didn't do it. He was just there to cover up. He was a Daddy Bush attorney. Fuck.
And it was Comey that was on the board of that bank, right? He served as the person that handled the money for Hillary. Is that right? The FBI?
I don't know whether Comey was the one. I know that, there's a couple of them. There were congressmen and so forth, and the governor even, that were all involved. But I forgot which ones are which. I'm having brain farts, getting hungry, I guess. And so, anyway, but sometimes I remember and sometimes I don't, you know. I'm getting my memory back, thank God, Nicole.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Folks, I had antibiotics because of a dentist given to me about 10 months, 11 months ago. Caused a fungi in my body called yeast infection. And I don't have any girlfriends, so I don't have a girl's disease or anything like that, but it was this fungi. And it grew from that antibiotics. And the only thing that finally killed it out, and I thank Charlene Ford, a former nurse, she says coconut oil. So I was taking a teaspoon of coconut oil each day, and it was coming out of me. My tongue was turning black almost, you know, with yellow all over it and everything from the fungi. And finally, it's back pink and I'm clean. But, oh, my God. I lost 40 pounds. I've gained back about 15. I lost 40 friggin' pounds in a two-month period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Very serious. But thank God. And thank God for Charlene, a good Christian woman. And that's what we need. We need warriors, don't we?
Yes, we need more people who are willing to fight for the truth and to mobilize people so we can change things. And I believe that the more people come aware about all the things that we're dealing with, especially about these social issues and how satanic they are, especially the attacks on the children. Because I thought when people became aware of this, when I started doing my own research, and this stuff really used to keep me very disturbed by the things that I was learning. I said, people find out about this. This has to bring forth a greater awareness for God to be in your life, a greater awareness to fight evil at all fronts. And we talked about this earlier today about deception and how reality, people who are part of the satanic agenda, it seems to me they have a way of dampening the truth and also making the environment to have a false perception of that what is true is perceived to be a lie and the lie to be the truth. And that's what's very irritating to me, how people are not waking up and they're not fighting for children when it's blatantly obvious that this is happening. People are just being, to me, they're being numb to everything. And if you don't accept this, if you don't fight for children, if children's innocence is killed off in this country and in this world, still we have no hope. There's no hope after innocence is gone. And so I feel in my heart that adults, especially adults with children, they have to say something. Parents have to say something. Guardians have to say something. Because we have to protect them because God loves them so much and they're so precious to Him. And so it just irks me that people are not more vigilant in fighting for innocence. So if you want to add something, go right ahead.
Well, you know, I think you're right. I've listened to General Flynn, and his thing that he pushes is for people to get involved on the school level. Go right to school boards. Get involved in your community and put a halt to this nonsense that's going on. You know, these cross-dressers and all this insane crap that they're doing. That's what his statement is, pretty much. Telling people to get involved. We have to take it back. We've allowed them to steal our power from us. And we got to put the power back in the hands of the people. Is the only way to do it. And you have to, I apologize, I'm cooking some of the chili meat. And so I was just warming it up here. But that's the way to solve the problem. It's city by city, county by county, state by state. And that's what I used to preach to them when I formed the militia. Tell them to build it by the county, by the city, by the state. That way there's no central command. They can't reach through other people and harm you. They built some tight-knit community, believe me.
I really believe people need to get involved and they have to protect children. And hopeful of is the young kids that are behind, our Generation X, the younger kids behind those who have fell hard for this liberal agenda, they are more conservative than their parents, I hear. So there is hope. They know the need for God. They know the need for decency and honesty. So I have a twinge of hope that the generations in the future, you know, if things don't turn into the prophecy that you stated, because I don't know how things are going to play out. But if there is another side of this where we can go on, I still believe there's this generation, the younger generation, they know the need for God, and they are God-fearing individuals in that generation. So that's how I see it. If things happen with prophecy, says it's going to happen, I accept it. But if we can have more time on this planet to do the will of God, I'm open to that too. So I'm a person who just wants to do what's right and use my time to be more constructive. And that's why I contacted you. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to say the truth that I know in my life what had happened and how it transpired, because maybe my story may provoke someone else to say, hey, I have to tell this too. I have to speak the truth that I know of, what I went through. So this is very important to me.
All right. Well, is there anything you'd want to close this with?
I just want to say that I think we need to make the most of every moment of our lives, and I think we need to be grateful that we see another day. And I hope that from now on, we live to promote God's will, and we live to help serve each other the way God wants us to uplift each other and to fight a good fight. And that's about it. That's all I have.
Okay. Give out your website.
My website is witnessspeaks.com. It talks about my journey through my faith and through healing and my interactions with God. And it also has vital information about faith and also spiritual recovery with deliverance. And that's about it. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Hey, it was my honor having you.
I'll
say goodnight to you. Remember,
thank
folks.
You.
Okay, goodbye, Nicole Powers.